At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Hey guys, it's Natalia and welcome back to Unfiltered Fashion Talks. Today we have my bestie Megan.
It's about time I have you on here. I've literally been waiting so long to have you on, but I was like, I just want to wait till I'm in the studio, till we're in person. And now here we are.
It's pretty legit, I will say.
It's pretty legit.
Happy to be here.
I am so happy that you're here. How are you doing today?
You know, we went to Harry Styles last night.
Yes, we did.
We're in my One Direction merch.
I love to see it.
In honor. So, you know, we're a little sleepy, but still.
We're pulling through. Yeah. It was quite the night.
Yeah.
But we didn't lose our voices. So that.
I know.
That's a win.
Yeah,
that is a win in my book.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, for those who don't know you, you know, give us a little background on yourself. A little bio, if you will.
Okay. I'm a sustainability influencer, creator, educator, whatever term
all
you want to use. I've been doing this for like 10 years, but like seriously 2 years.
Yeah.
Going into my third year, I guess, now doing this full time on Instagram and TikTok, and I have a website, a YouTube coming along.
Yes, YouTube era.
Natalia's convinced me.
Yes.
Yeah, and I talk about like sustainable living, sustainable fashion, and my whole approach to it is doing things imperfectly, striving for progress and not perfection. There's no perfect sustainability anything. There's no perfect sustainable lifestyle. There's no perfect sustainable outfit. So kind of diving into the nuances of that and just encouraging people to like do your best and advocate for the rest. And
that was beautifully worded.
Yeah, thank you.
I love that little rhyme and everything. Okay, so obviously, you know, gotta ask, how did you get into everything? I mean, starting on the fashion side of things, because you know, you had your little blog, your little blogger moment.
Oh, yeah.
And then that transitioned into like sustainability. So
So I started my fashion blog in 2012, which like
is crazy.
So long ago. I was a freshman in high school.
Insane.
And I went to this summer camp, which I feel like this says a lot about me as a person. The business of fashion.
You would.
Summer camp in Manhattan. I would like take the train into the city. And we heard from all these different people that worked in the fashion industry, but on the business side. So like buyers, merchandisers, people in finance, like all these kinds of people. And we had bloggers come and speak to us. The Wanderlust girls, I think they still exist.
Yes.
So yeah, they came and spoke to us.
Wow.
And they said that they got free clothes. Because they had a blog, and I was like, say less. Like, I guess I'm starting a blog. So that's what I did. And I started a little like WordPress fashion blog, and I didn't tell anybody about it for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
The first year that I had
it
was just
goes.
Secret.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pictures just like most definitely illegally pulled from Pinterest. And like, these are the trends, and like, this is what's on my wish list, and fashion is so fun. And then I started kind of documenting my outfits a little bit. I did go to a school that had a uniform in high school. So we
Tragic.
Would have dress down days is what we called them. I think once a month.
Oh.
You had to pay like $5
to wear
regular clothes. But
I,
being a fashion girl, I was like, this is my opportunity to like wear Facts. Something cute and prove that like I have style.
Duh.
So I would have my little brother take pictures of my outfits, like on this, not even a phone, like a little digital camera.
Cute.
And I would upload them. I think for a while I cropped my head out of it just because I didn't want people to know about it. And I loved it. I was like having a really good time and decided to like tell my parents about it. Like I have this blog and this is what I'm doing. And they just really encouraged me to keep going for it. So continued to do a lot of just like total fashion focused stuff all of it was about fast fashion at the time. I was my tagline started. I think we all did. And at that time, like in my head, especially in that like magazine era where you're reading 17 and Teen Vogue and like all these magazines all the time, style was trends.
Oh yeah, like personal style was not talked
about. No. And I thought that that's what fashion, being fashionable, equaled like having all the trendy items. So I think my tagline at the time was like, fashion on a babysitter's budget.
I love that.
And it would just be like fast fashion.
Yeah.
Because that's all I could afford at the time. I was overbuying, and that's another issue we can get into.
You and me both.
But that's what it was all about. And I did end up getting free clothes. I think my first brand partner was Wet Seal.
Really?
Yeah. And I could just like pick free clothes. And it was the most thrilling experience of my entire life. I was like, yeah, I want to do this for a really long time. So I kept it up pretty seriously through high school. Used it in my like college essay to show that I would be a good business student.
I'm
like,
love
look,
that.
I look at my analytics and like, these are all the brands I've worked with, all free at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I get to college. My plan is to study business and maybe do marketing. I think my dream job at the time was like social media for H&M.
Wow, we've come a long way.
Things have changed. But it was my first semester. I went to USC. My first semester, we had a required freshman writing class that like everybody had to take. Writing 150. And I picked the one that fit in my schedule and the professor that had the least bad reviews. And the first paper I ever had to write in college was issues with sustainability in the industry that you want to work in.
That's wild. Like
literally
first paper.
Crazy. And if I hadn't taken that class, like who knows where I'd be. But I had to write that paper, and somebody in my class recommended I watch The True Cost, which I think is a lot of people's
classic
introduction into sustainability in fashion and ethics in fashion. And I joke that I like never stopped writing that paper because I just like, it was shocking to me. And I loved my blog, and it was something I was continuing for 4 years at that point. I was like, I'm good. This is really important to me and I love it. But at the same time, I was like, knowing this information, how can I continue to be like, I go to the mall every weekend and like, these are the trends. And so that was kind of the beginning of my sustainable fashion, sustainability journey in general. And it's just been quite the process since
then. It's always a process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how I got into this. So fashion was my first love. And sustainability came in the middle. But I still like will always love fashion. I'm not like the type of sustainable fashion person that's like, you can't buy any new clothes ever. And you have to wear the same thing every single day. And you have a uniform. Or like, you can only wear
not like a capsule linens. Closet kind of gal.
Literally.
I could never.
No, I couldn't.
Never.
So that's why I went through phases of thinking that that's what I had to do or had to wear to like call myself sustainable. And that's why I think I focus so much of my time on being like, look, it looks different for everybody.
It does.
Fashion's supposed to be fun. It's such an individual thing to express the way you feel and like just all of that. Why would you limit yourself based on some like arbitrary idea of what sustainable looks like?
Exactly. That was beautifully worded.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. What were some of like the first things that like shocked you about the fashion industry when you started going into like the sustainable aspect of it?
I think the first thing that was really shocking was when I was watching The True Cost, just like seeing the conditions in which the clothes were made.
Yeah. It's insane.
It's insane. And it's, I mean, I think what something that fast fashion does really well is separate the process of making the clothing from what they're selling to you. Like if you pick up a shirt in a fast fashion store, you're not like, oh my gosh, what's the story behind this? Like, how is this made? What's it made of? You're just looking at it and you're like, oh, $5? Yeah.
Right.
So seeing all of the women like hand stitching embroidery into a little like baby t-shirt that's going to be sold for $3.
Right.
It was shocking. And I just like felt like nauseous, I guess is like the best way to describe it. I just was like, it was icky.
Yeah.
And it made me think so much more about what goes into making clothes. I at that point had gone to like sewing camp in middle school where I made like a box dress with ties on the shoulder.
A classic
in this hideous polka dot pattern fabric. It was horrible, but it took me weeks to learn how to like press the presser foot so that I wouldn't like speed off into the sunset, or that it would go faster than like one stitch at a time.
Right.
So I had a little bit of an idea of what went into sewing.
Yeah.
But like, if you think about a pair of jeans,
I don't even want to think about making a pair of jeans.
No, but just looking at it, like the zippers and all the little like
the hardware and everything,
and all the seams, like.
Yeah,
my little box dress, the seams looked hideous on the inside, but you're not looking at them. Like, but you are looking at the inside seams of all the things that you buy when you put them on and when you wash them. So I think that was the first thing that was really shocking. And then also just the waste. Like, I think there was one of those classic pictures of just like a landfill full of clothes.
Right.
And it's like,
how do you even go from there?
Yeah.
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 No, me too. I think with the whole like the making of the clothing, I've always found it really interesting because I've sewed for so long and like I know how much goes into sewing, but I never like correlated it.
Yeah.
And because I just assume like, oh, they're professionals, they probably do it faster than I do, but it's like, no, they're like, also
they're probably
humans.
Your age too,
or
they're
even
so
younger.
Yeah
But I've also like found it fascinating that like we know that sweatshops are a thing and you grow up knowing that,
yeah,
but you just like I guess are taught that that's the norm. So you don't ever get taught to think otherwise, that it could be the other way around. So I'm like, you're just naturally like, oh yeah, this was made in China in a sweatshop.
Yeah.
But you don't like think about like, oh, that's a human behind that.
Uh-huh.
Like, why are we conditioned for that? It blows my mind.
As I think with a lot of things, even like in the service industry.
Yeah.
Like you think about the food that's being put on your table and like how fast your drink is coming out.
Right.
You're not necessarily thinking about the servers and
literally
the people that are cooking the food and everything that goes on behind the scenes. So I think that's also something that I just loved about sustainable fashion was there's always a story behind everything. Like I could speak for like a whole hour about my outfit and where everything comes from and like how I decided to buy it and if it was secondhand and where I got it and how much it was.
Yeah.
Because I love those stories. Mm-hmm. And so finding those brands at the beginning of my sustainable fashion journey that were like, we work with this specific farm in India to grow regenerative cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what that means. And this is how we like hand stamp the fabric. And this is why it's $300.
Right.
Like it was still shocking
totally.
To see how expensive that was. But I was like, oh, like
it makes sense.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm the same way. I think it also over time now I'm starting to like not be so shocked by the prices anymore. I'm like, $300? Yeah, that's legit.
And especially when you make your own stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I sell things for that amount of money, and I'm like, I should get paid more.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But it does just take time, though, to, like, switch the mindset coming from, like, fast fashion to buying things at, like, $2. I literally once got a shirt at Aeropostale when I was in middle school for 99 cents.
Yeah.
Like, that does not make sense.
Like, the dollar tanks and the dollar tees at Forever 21.
I'm like, how did you even pay for the material, the labor cost? Like, there's no way.
It's just shipping. Like, it's not made in the U.S.
Literally.
I mean, I'm like a supply chain girl now. So that's what I studied in grad school.
Yes.
And that, like, there's so much that goes into just gathering the materials and the finishings and the packaging all into one place to be put together and then shipped out to a distribution center, which goes to a store, which goes to your front door. Like, there's so much that goes into it. How can you possibly sell something for $1?
It makes no sense to me. It blows my mind. Speaking of supply chain, I feel like we should get into that because that is obviously your expertise. Mm-hmm. I don't know much, but what I do know is that in the fashion industry, the supply chain is so big and so expansive that I don't think anybody even knows how to keep track of it, even within their own brand. Correct?
Yeah.
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 And I think that's what drew me to supply chains in the beginning. Well, first of all, after I started this whole sustainability, like I need to do something sustainable in fashion, I knew marketing wasn't like the best fit anymore.
Because
I was like, can toe the line into greenwashing. Like, people could just say mm-hmm. whatever, but how do we like actually make fashion sustainable? So I Googled, looked in the course catalog of USC classes and just searched the term sustainability. And there was one class, mm-hmm. it was called Sustainable Supply Chains. And I was like, huh, what's a supply chain? Googled it and was like, okay, yeah, seems practical. Like, I think I'll do that. And that's how funny. I decided to study supply chains in grad school. That. Yeah. And it's, I think what really drew me to supply chains is that there's so much room for improvement.
Yeah.
And there are so many areas that can be impacted or that have an impact on people or the planet.
Yes.
I mean, I started this before, I started my master's program before COVID.
Right.
I feel like during the pandemic, people started to get an idea of what a supply chain was.
Yeah.
Before that, nobody had really heard of it.
No.
But my favorite way of describing it is like from concept to consumer. So it's after somebody designs something,
mm-hmm.
the next step after just the like concept is
yeah.
getting the materials, deciding where you're going to make it, how mm-hmm. much you're going to make, where are you going to ship it, what
right.
the packaging materials are, what you're going to do with the waste.
Yeah.
Are you going to fly it overseas? Are you going to put it on a boat that takes 3 months to get to the US?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to like overnight ship it to somebody's front door? Are you only going to have it in a store? Those are all the things that you think about with supply chains and fashion.
Right.
And when you think about that, there's so many sustainability areas
so
and
many.
Ethics issues. Like, there's so many just people that are involved.
Too many.
And resources.
Yes.
And so it's important, and there's a lot of room for change, but mm-hmm. it's also really hard to track. Like, fashion's
so
such
hard.
A global industry.
Yeah.
And that's why it's also a hard industry to regulate, because like, if a company is based in the US but none of their stuff is made here,
you can't regulate that.
Yeah. Or if a company is based in the UK and like, we have stores here,
right,
what can we say? Like, oh,
literally
you can't
nothing.
Sell here,
right?
Like, that's not gonna work very well.
No.
Yeah, so supply chains are complicated.
Very much so. I just like think about even just like the shipping of like one place to another, from like the growing the cotton probably in India to like shipping it elsewhere to be like making the fabric, and then like even just that in itself, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And that's not even like offcuts of the fabric, which I feel like are not talked about enough, but
no.
offcuts are like my favorite thing. I'm like, there's so much. I'm like, that's so much fabric that could be used.
Yeah.
It kills me.
Well, because if you've never visited, and that's another thing that I love about like having a better idea of what the process of making clothes
mm-hmm.
is like, which we don't get as like an average
no, but
fashion
I think
person.
Everybody should learn how to sew.
I think so too, because you're gonna have all these little fabric scraps that are like a teeny weird little triangle.
Yes.
And it's like, what
right.
do you just throw it away? And then you think about that on a larger scale, like
yeah.
what happens in manufacturing places where they just stack like
literally.
Feet of fabric on top of it each
and
other
like,
and
laser
like,
cut it
laser cut it and
insane
all... yeah
yeah I think about that all the time. I'm like, if I could just take people's offcuts, could do so much.
Yeah.
But they usually just get thrown away.
Yeah.
Just tragic. But you know, we're doing our best.
Yeah, we're doing our best. This is where I think I get overwhelmed.
Me too.
With like all of the problems that
yeah.
there are. And like, this is where I try to lean more into my like imperfect individual environmentalism. Like
yeah.
I do my best. I shop secondhand.
Right.
I shop mindfully. I support sustainable brands when I can.
Mm-hmm.
Do my best to like nicely poke my friends in the
yeah.
side that still shop fast fashion on a regular basis.
Same.
Maybe not so nicely.
Yeah, I was like, I don't do it very
yeah,
nicely,
no. but like I do the best that I can.
Yeah.
And it's not my responsibility, even though I'm aware of all these issues that are happening in the industry.
Yeah.
It's not my responsibility to fix it.
Right.
It doesn't feel great always.
No.
And I'm trying to get more involved in like policy, like
yeah.
the Fashion Act out of
right.
New York, the Fabric Act, which is like in mm-hmm. Congress at the moment. The Garment Worker Protection Act was a big thing in California.
Yeah.
Like, that to me feels like really impactful. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about writing laws. I don't know anything about the legislative process.
I don't either.
You tell me what you're trying to pass.
And I will support it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you don't, yeah. When I talk about all these issues, I get very flustered and I'm like, oh, there's no, so much more yeah. that we could be doing. And I'm sure you feel that too as a brand. Absolutely.
As a brand, half the time I'm like, I shouldn't even be making new clothes. I feel guilty even just like, even buying dead stock fabric, which is literally leftover fabric that would have been thrown away anyway. I'm like, why am I making more clothes when there's so much secondhand? And like, I buy everything secondhand too. I like never shop new. So then I'm out here promoting that like, you go out and buy something new. And I'm like, no, but also at the same time, it's like you should be able to enjoy life and enjoy like the things that bring you joy. And I feel like that's such a hard like balance to have, because like fashion brings me joy, brings a lot of people joy to like dress up and like not wear the same outfit 24/7 and like, you know, do fun things like that. But then if you think about it too much, it just gets so overwhelming.
Yeah, I think the same with like the beginning of my sustainability journey. Mm-hmm. The only like people I had to look up to, I guess, at that moment were like the trash jar, zero waste vegans.
Yeah, that's what I wore,
like
with too.
All earth toned linen clothing.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not my vibe.
And had like beautiful pantries with matching mason jars, and I was like, I'm living in a dorm.
Yeah, me living like, in New York, I was
all
like, this
the way
is not
across
fly.
The country from where I grew up. Like, I can't do this. No. And also, like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I just completely wrote it off. I was like, well, obviously, I can't be like that. I don't really want to be like that.
Right.
So it's not for me. Like, I just can't do it. And I gave up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something really dangerous on like an individual level.
I agree.
Which is why we have to focus so much on the just doing the best that you can.
Right.
If your best is shopping secondhand, but shopping like a little, like a lot secondhand, like having a lot of clothes. But if that's something that totally brings you joy,
right,
do it. See what other areas of your life you can have a little bit less of an impact. Like, I get an iced tea every single day.
Yeah.
I was on my way to get an iced tea when Natalia told me I was running late. That brings me joy.
Right.
I love shopping. I will walk around a thrift store for hours and buy clothes that I probably don't need. But I love it.
Yeah.
And life is about joy.
It is. You should enjoy your life. You're not just, like, put on this earth to, I don't know, be depressed about all the issues.
Yeah. And it's not like you buying clothes secondhand or like too many clothes new or me having too many iced teas that's like warming the planet
right
1 degree Celsius.
Right.
Every time we do that, like it's much bigger.
It is.
And so when you can just, you know, say I don't have like high expectations of myself. Like, this is what I can do. I'm going to stick to it. Do my best and try to get the big brands to do better.
Right. Yeah, it's always the big brands. Always circle back to them.
But I also feel like people are a lot harder on the small brands.
They are.
I'm curious to hear
like
your thoughts on that, because
yeah,
you guys are like often the ones that are trying.
Yeah,
the
I most. Get so much shit for things, and I'm like, I'm literally a single human being running this entire business by myself, and people will be like, I don't know, saying things about, like, I use deadstock, so sometimes deadstock is polyester, or, like, is something not sustainable, quote-unquote, but it's, like, it's deadstock, so it's secondhand, whatever. And people will be like, well, that's not very sustainable because that's polyester. I'm like, well, I'd rather use something that's already made than take, a bunch of resources to grow cotton and, like, you know, make something new. Even if it is a sustainable fabric, I'm like, there's no perfect solution.
Yeah.
I'm like, I prefer using deadstock than like using organic cotton or something new.
Yeah.
We don't need anything more new.
Yeah.
You know?
And there are brands out there that just use the new stuff. Like,
yeah,
everybody has different approaches to it.
Yeah.
And you can find what aligns with your values. But yeah, sustainable fashion is so complicated.
I do
a lot of these like Instagram posts where I like point to the different things in my outfit and like talk about why it's sustainable.
Yeah, I love those.
Because
It's important.
Like, these jeans, Levi's, like, they're having a lot of ethical issues.
Yeah, they are.
With their manufacturing. It's like a stretch denim.
Right.
Is it the most sustainably made? No.
No.
But I got them secondhand, and I wear them
all the
like
time.
Like, twice a day.
Yeah.
Like, I literally wear them all the time.
Yeah.
it's by far the best purchase I've made. I think I only got them last year, and I like truly wear them all the time.
No, I agree.
That is a sustainable purchase.
Right. That's what I always tell, even like to my friends that shop fast fashion. I'm like, I don't care if you shop at Zara, but if you find like the most perfect pair of pants that fit you so perfectly and like you're going to wear them all the time, buy them at Zara.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Because it's more sustainable than buying a whole bunch of like sustainably made stuff that doesn't quite fit right. And you're like, it's fine. Or like going to a thrift store and trying to buying like 9-10 different pairs of pants and like trying to fix it up. Like, no, the most sustainable clothing is what you'll actually wear.
Yes.
If that means buying something from a fast fashion brand, I will like turn.
I know.
Turn
a blind eye. Listen.
Plug my ears.
Yeah.
But like, if you're gonna wear it a lot and you're gonna commit to following the care instructions and not shrinking it when you wash it for the first time, and if a button falls off, sewing it back on, like,
yeah,
that's a sustainable purchase decision.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like, for me, looking into my closet, I've been doing a lot of closet audits lately. You've inspired that.
Yeah.
But I have so many pieces that I just haven't grown since middle school, so anything everything still fits me. But I have so many pieces that are fast fashion like stuff, probably from Forever 21, that I've had for over 10 years that I still wear consistently to this day, and I'm like, that's probably more sustainable than this dress that I got secondhand on Poshmark.
Yeah,
because I've worn it so many times over the past 10 years, and as long as I don't grow anymore, I will keep wearing them.
Yes, as you should.
Yeah,
like my favorite bikini is Shein from the thrift store.
No, I was like, Megan,
no.
That's funny. No.
But yeah, and people are like, oh my gosh, where'd you get your swimsuit? And I'm like, don't
That's
ask
when you
me.
Have to be like, I got it secondhand. Like, I thrifted it.
Yeah.
You don't have to say the brand.
Yeah. But then they're always asking, like, oh, but what does the tag say?
I'm so like, I can't read. Yeah. All of a sudden, I can't.
It's gone.
Yeah, what are words?
But it's interesting how people will still have strange reactions to that. Like, oh my gosh. You bought Shein at the thrift store? Like, you have Shein in your closet?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but it's...
I know, but like, it is secondhand. It's mine.
Yeah, like it's better than going to the landfill.
Right.
Which is, like, probably where it was headed.
I know. It's an issue because I have that issue whenever I see Shein. I don't want to buy it because that feels wrong to me, even though I know it's not wrong because it's, like, Goodwill or something. But, like, it just feels like I'm betraying myself.
Yeah, but I also used to be that way with like Forever 21 and H&M. I guess those were like the big
fast fashion brands
when I was growing up.
Me too.
So I used to like totally get the ick when I would see them at the thrift store and be like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But some of my most worn stuff is from those brands.
Same.
Like maybe not the most high quality stuff, but a basic like little white button down shirt.
Right.
Does the trick.
Yeah, it does the job.
Yeah.
As long as you take care of it.
And nobody can see what brand it is.
Yeah.
Like,
I know. It really is not that deep.
I think that's also, like, kind of residual, like, mind fucking that I have from all the fashion magazines. Like, these are the brands to shop at. And, like, the big logos. Like, Abercrombie was huge I was in middle school.
Yeah.
Like, the logo across your chest. And, like...
That's just what it was all logo. Like, Hollister, Aeropostale, all of them.
Yeah.
Were just straight up the name of the store.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And I also feel like our first gut reaction to somebody being like, oh my gosh, I love your dress, is for you to say, oh here's where it's from.
Yeah. But then I'm like, ugh.
But do we need to be? Oh,
no.
Oh, thank you. Like, gatekeep. I love it.
Girl boss, gaslight, gatekeep.
Yes. Yeah.
Not actually. You can tell people where
or
it's from,
like, launch into a whole 20-minute story. Like, this jacket, I got it at Melrose Street Post in 2016 for $20 at the stand when you go in to the right and then to the right again. And it's the best thing in the whole world. And there's somebody's, like, name on the inside. Somewhere.
Oh, really?
I think maybe.
That's cute. I have a couple of blouses that also have somebody's name on it. I'm like, this is kind of fun.
Yeah. It's, like, historical.
It is. It just feels extra special than just... getting some random thing.
Yeah.
You know? I love that.
Little secondhand stories.
Yeah. We love those. Yeah. I'm trying to fill my closet up with more secondhand. Though it's almost like 50% secondhand at this point, which I was shocked about.
And also, what? 50% made by you?
30% like made by me. And like...
That's amazing.
Yeah. A good amount is just like old fast fashion or whatever. But yeah. You know, we're working on it.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely. Yeah. Okay. Also going more into your... imperfect environmentalism. I feel like that's what drew me to you in the first place, because see, I followed Megan a long time ago and she didn't know who I was, And one day she learned who I was and now we're besties. That's how the story goes. But anyway, I was a big fan. Still, I'm a big fan. But I just feel like when I got into the sustainability space, I also ended up following all the, like, you know, zero waste jar girlies, and like, they're very inspirational. Like,
oh,
the
totally.
Fact that people can even do that blows my mind.
Yeah.
But obviously accessibility is a huge, huge part of that. And like, me having grown up in the Midwest, there's nothing. No bulk stores to go to. Not like, I don't know. It's like in LA, I honestly haven't been to the bulk store and I really need to go.
I'll go with you.
I know. Yeah, I'm just like scared of going by myself, but anyway, we'll go. But even I think of, like, there's farmers markets every single day in LA that I could go to.
All year round.
Year round.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is such a blessing. Like, in Indiana, we'd have once a week in the summer, because that's the only time you can be outside.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, the accessibility is just so crazy. And I feel like you really put that into perspective for me when I started following you. Even just like on days where you're talking about just like literally not physically being able to get up and like make yourself food and like having to order something, or little things like that, that I feel like I also feel guilty about sometimes. Cause I'm like, I could just cook something, but it's like, if I have my period and I'm dying of cramps, I don't want to get up / I can't get up.
Yeah.
I'm going to order something and I'm not going to feel bad about the packaging it comes in.
Cause the priority at that point is feeding yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You're really good about that.
Yeah. I mean, I was like forced to reckon with that a little bit.
Right.
I think when I started my sustainable lifestyle journey, I was very much so a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And I was on social media at the time. I didn't show any of the plastic I used. Like, I'd go to the grocery store, take all the plastic out, take a nice little like framed picture. Like, look at all this.
Yeah.
Like, I very much so was worried about the image of sustainability that I was putting forward. And also just like personally dealing with a lot of perfection paralysis. Like, if I can't do this perfectly, what's the point?
We're the same person.
Why try? Which is not the energy we need to be bringing to the environmental movement.
The same way.
Yeah.
With anything.
And so I, was doing my best to do a lot of sustainable things. I was living my most sustainable life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, taking the metro to the bulk store.
Yep.
With all my jars, going to farmers markets every day, like composting in my freezer of my shared fridge with my four roommates
in
college.
That's dedication.
Like I was doing a lot of those things.
Yeah.
And then I was hit with a debilitating chronic illness.
Yeah.
Couldn't carry my groceries, couldn't carry my little reusable teacup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were so many just basic life things that I couldn't do anymore. And so I was like, well, I feel like shit about this. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, yeah, I would love to feel better so I can do all these things that I was doing. But like, am I a bad person?
No.
Because I can't, am I a bad environmentalist?
Right.
Because I like physically can't carry groceries anymore and like have to get them delivered or have to drive half a mile to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of just like mental processing going on during that whole time. I mean, in addition to like feeling like shit every day for like 2 years. But the moment I started talking about that, especially on TikTok, I think I was surprised by the response and how positive it was. Mm-hmm. People were like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't live in LA, but I live in Indiana. And like, we don't have farmers markets.
No, we don't.
So like, I choose the best options at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's going to be plastic.
Yeah,
it's going to be like shipped from who knows where. But that's the best option that's available to me.
Exactly.
And so that I'm doing good.
Right.
And it made me feel a lot better by sharing and being like, this is something I really care about and I can't do enough.
Right.
Enough.
Yeah. That's all relative.
So I didn't know that that's how you found me on social media.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But yeah, I think
that
that's
the story.
It's that kind of positivity and like, everybody's welcome here, instead of like, if you aren't vegan and zero waste and plastic free, you aren't sustainable. You can't be part of this movement.
Yeah.
You aren't good enough. we don't need any more of that.
No, that's what like scared me off, because I was like, I can't be vegan. I eat a lot of vegan meals and like I'm not against it, but I'm like, I can't be vegan.
It's a major lifestyle change.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the energy and the like mental capacity to really focus on making that change to your daily life and your daily habits, it's going to be exhausting and you're going to give up.
Right.
So it's better to just say, I'm going to eat a vegan meal a day.
Right.
Or I'm going to like
you can cut down on it.
Instead of buying meat this week, I'm going to buy tofu or like some kind of plant-based alternative.
Yeah.
It's so much more like sustainable in,
it is.
In life.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Sustainability shouldn't be something that takes 99.9% of your energy from the day and focus. It's about building habits
that you
as
can
an individual
sustain.
That you can sustain.
Yeah.
Which often means like doing one thing at a time.
Right.
And not like, oh, overnight I'm going to become this eco girly, zero waste, like vegan. It's not going to work.
No. No, we've all tried. Like
we've all tried.
Yeah. When I first moved out on my own, I was so excited because I was like, oh, I'm going to live by myself because my parents love them. They're not very sustainable, nor do they care about anything that much. They're doing a lot better now, but like, you know.
It takes time. Yeah.
But I was so excited. I was like, I'm going to move out. I'm going to get all these like fancy little cleaning products that are all sustainable. I'm going to do all these things, blah, blah, blah. But then I just like realized, A, it was getting expensive to do it personally because I had to ship everything. It's not like I could go get that stuff in person. So that was kind of a lot.
Yeah.
And it was just like not super sustainable for me. And I was like feeling bad about it. And then I just like wouldn't show the things that like I don't know, things like bathroom cleaners. I have yet to find a good sustainable one.
Yeah, like, I got the Clorox blue bleach.
Literally,
whatever, like,
the classic stuff. I'm like, I can't not use it. But then you feel bad for even showing that you use it. I'm like, you know what?
Like, what's the alternative? You're going to have a dirty toilet?
I know. I'm like, I don't want a dirty toilet.
A million different sustainable options that you're trying. And
literally.
You're like, you're probably going to make mustard gas accidentally in your bathroom. Like,
yeah.
Like,
it's
no.
Little things.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a process.
It is a process. It's just like unlearning the perfectionism around it.
I think also social media adds an interesting, really interesting layer to that.
Yeah.
Especially TikTok. I think people love to like nitpick, find holes in what you're saying.
God,
or like, but you said this 2 weeks ago, or like,
right.
Like, it's a 30-second, 1 minute, max 3 minute video on the internet. There's no way that you can fully
say everything
and all the nuances and all the background of everything.
Yeah.
And I hope that as a society, we stop jumping to conclusions in like the worst sense of the way, like in the worst way, and instead just like move forward with a little more empathy. Like instead of like, oh my god, is that plastic, being like, oh, I noticed that plastic, have you tried like this sustainable thing, like even that just like shift in tone
makes a huge difference. I get that too all the time. I guess more on like the brand side of things, even just like shipping fabrics when I was in India. I still ship fabrics because I hate going to the fashion district. But I'm doing better about it. But anyway.
Because I drive you.
Yeah. Oh my god. Literally. Thank God for Megan. But yeah, just things like people would be like, well, you're shipping fabrics, so that's a huge cost. Or like, you do international shipping, like that's not very like good for carbon emission. I'm like, first of all, I've got carbon neutral shipping.
Yeah.
So shut up. But also but then people will even take that and be like, well, that doesn't, like, that doesn't just, like, cancel it out. Like, it's still doing harm. I'm like, girly pop, I'm trying.
Yeah.
Like,
and, like, just because somebody doesn't live in the U.S. or just because they don't live in L.A., does that mean they don't deserve to have your clothes if they really want it?
Right.
I'm like, what if they don't have a super sustainable option locally to them?
Exactly.
Like, we live in a global economy.
Mm-hmm.
In a capitalist society, like, we're, things aren't going to change so drastically.
Yeah.
So the best thing is to do it mindfully.
Yes.
And offer the carbon neutral shipping and make your brand so that people are investing in these pieces and they're going to love them for a long time and they're really well made with deadstock material. Like,
right.
It's not the, like, emissions Olympics.
I know, seriously. I feel like it always ends up being that. Even like I travel pretty often. Mostly because I do have family in different countries and like I just grew up having to travel a bunch. Yeah. But I even feel guilty sometimes like posting a picture on a plane because I know one day somebody's going to say something about it. Have yet to get that comment, but I just know one day it's going to happen.
I feel like I've definitely gotten one of those. Well, because in college, yeah. I was in LA and my family was in New York.
Yeah, it's you have to. What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, and all my siblings went to went to school in New York too. Yeah. So they were like a 3-hour drive from home. And I was like, yeah, 6-hour flight.
Literally.
Like, and all the time you spend in the airport.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't going to not see my family.
Exactly.
I'm still the same way. Like, I'm not flying every weekend.
No, absolutely.
And when
not.
I go, I try to stay for a few weeks.
Right.
So that it makes sense. But like the maybe 2 years in college that I didn't go home for Thanksgiving mm-hmm. because I was like 2 weeks later was going to be home for Christmas. I was miserable.
That's so sad.
Like, what's the point yeah. of like the yeah. planes fly in there anyway.
I know.
It's a balance. It's about balance. Like, there's a difference between the celebrities that are flying everywhere. We're not going to name names.
We're not going to name drop Miss T-Swift on that one.
We're not, because Natalia
yeah.
loves her.
We're going to name drop the Kardashians, if anything.
Yeah, but like any kind of
yeah.
person that has that kind of travel accessible to them.
Yes, that's insane.
And they're doing it excessively.
And for like short distances that don't
short
make
distances,
sense.
Like, because they don't want to be stuck in traffic.
Yeah, like in LA to Palm Springs, like LA to another part of LA. Like, it just
yeah.
is ridiculous.
Like, I pick an airline that offsets the emissions.
Right.
I fly direct because yeah. some article on the internet said that was better, and I believe it.
It makes sense.
Like, I do yeah. what I can, but I'm not going to not see my family.
Right.
I'm not going to live in New York if it's going to make me miserable.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
because my family is there. Not gonna happen.
Yeah. No, I feel that. I love that. Okay. So, for people that are wanting to go into the sustainability space / starting that, where would you recommend, like, starting to, like, change habits? Or, like, what were the first few things that, like, you thought were easier to implement, I guess?
I think, like, I cannot stress this enough, start small.
Yes.
Like,
I agree.
It might seem like you're doing the most trivial little thing, but like,
yeah.
sustainable living as an individual is about making habits.
Yes.
Because again, it could get really overwhelming if you're going to become vegan overnight and you're like not going to have any plastic. Like, it's so many
it's
things
too much.
For you to think about
yeah.
that you'd just give up.
Yeah.
So the first thing I started with was a reusable straw. I was going to Starbucks twice a day on campus, getting big drinks. And this was at the height of the, like, Save the Turtles
moment.
Yep. It's like, oh my gosh, I have to bring a straw everywhere with me.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, it was like a struggle to remember a straw on my
yeah.
way out the door. And then I started putting it in my backpack, like a little case of them.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I go to Starbucks, I'd be like, oh, I don't need a straw.
Like,
and
got
I would
one.
Just have my reusable straw. And it, within a few weeks, it was like second nature. Like, those straws just lived in my backpack.
Yeah.
And I had quite a few, and it was something I always remembered to do. And it then I could move on to the next thing, which was like a fork and a knife. I would always get food on campus. Did it still mm-hmm. come in a little plastic tub? Absolutely. But I would have my own fork. Like, I didn't need
yeah.
the little plastic fork too.
That's something.
It's little things like that.
Yeah.
That allowed me to get to where I am today, where I compost and I like make my own iced tea concentrate and mm-hmm. bring my like big reusable cup around with me everywhere.
Literally everywhere.
Everywhere.
I can attest to that.
Yeah. And like my it's
it
in
is
my
everywhere.
Bag over there.
Literally. I'm not even surprised.
But yeah, it's like, it sounds like you're starting with something really small,
mm-hmm.
but you need to build those habits and you need to start small.
Yeah.
So if you're going to start composting, put a little bin on like your kitchen counter.
Right.
When you're cooking food, if you see it there and it's like visible to you, you'll probably remember to put stuff in there. It's gonna start to smell it eventually.
Yeah.
But if that's what you need, like if you need to see it visually on your counter to be like, oh yeah, I'm like cutting this vegetable, I'm gonna put the little pit
right
in there, like, do it. And then once you're used to saving your little scraps for your compost pile, you can move it to your freezer so that it doesn't smell. But you already are in the habit of being like, okay, yeah, I'm cutting my vegetables. I'm going to save all the stuff, like the
right.
skins and the pits. and I'm just going to put it in the freezer with the rest of my pile. It's like, start small. I also think you should start with something that you use on a regular basis. So like straws, I was going to Starbucks.
Yeah, that makes sense for you.
You don't go to Starbucks twice a day. No. Like, it would probably wouldn't make sense for you to focus on that. For you, Miss Fashionista, maybe like washing your clothes in cold water, hang drying your clothes.
Mine is definitely clothing.
Yeah, if that's something that you do more often, or like if people go shopping all the time, maybe like keeping a wish list and like really sticking to it, or like writing down all the things that you added to your cart and then X out.
Right.
And then the next day come back and just like
reassess. Yeah.
Learn how to sew a button back on, like little
things,
skills like that. Or like if you wash your hair every day, switch to a shampoo bar or like a bamboo toothbrush. It's an easy swap. It's something you change every few months.
Right. Nothing crazy.
If you're good.
Yeah, if you actually remember.
It's just like, it's a little thing. Like there are a lot of easy entry points nowadays. But I also think like if you're doing something sustainable just because it's sustainable, you're not going to stick with it. Yeah. So starting with something that like fits into your daily life or something you're super passionate about, like fashion, start there.
Yeah.
Because then you'll be like, oh, I really care about my clothes. Oh, it's also sustainable to like air dry them. But that also means they're going to last longer. And that's good for you because you love fashion.
Exactly.
I can get my iced tea every day and it like stays cold in my little insulated cup.
Exactly.
Yes.
Incredible.
Yeah. Or like everything tastes better through a metal straw.
It really does. Personal opinion. It's different.
Like you find the little joys.
Yeah.
And like it, I don't know, it has to be something that you care about.
Yeah, I agree. I think on the fashion front, obviously we got to get into that. I feel like you're the queen of like closet audits, cost per wear, stuff like that. And I feel like you've made me so conscious of that. When I like moved to LA, I downsized my closet so much because I was like, I obviously needed to downsize generally.
Yeah.
But I really downsized so much and I like had so many pieces that I was just like, I haven't worn this in years. Why am I still holding on to this? Or like it didn't fit properly, but I was like, oh, maybe one day I'll fix it. I'm not gonna fix it.
Yeah,
I know I can. I have a pile of things that I'm gonna fix that I like thrifted that I'm like, I just need to
not gonna happen.
I'm not gonna do that. I'd rather make something from scratch than fix something up. Like, don't ask me why, but I literally hate it. But yeah, now I've become so conscious of like every piece that I bring into my closet because I've like looked at everything that I had and I was like, I have so many things I don't even reach for. And now I have like no clothes, it feels like, but I love all the clothes that I have.
Yeah,
but it's so much less than what I grew up having because I used to like, I had way too many clothes.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
And back then it was like you couldn't be caught dead wearing the same thing twice.
Literally, I this is, you know, just a little flex, but anyway, I got nominated for best dressed as my senior superlative in high school.
And did you win or were you just nominated? Okay, good.
Nominated and won. Which was shocking because I was not necessarily a cool kid in high school, so I was shocked people even knew who I was. But it was because I was caught dead with the same outfit, and people noticed that. And also I would wear heels to school and you could hear my heels clicking everywhere. I was one of those people.
Of
like,
course you
I literally wore like these boots to high school. Yeah, anyway, I was that person. But it's like that was like my thing. Like people knew that I never repeated an outfit, and if I like was wearing sweats one day, people would think I'd be like sick. Like, it was to that level of, like, if Natalia is not dressed up, like, something's wrong. Which, like, nowadays, I, like, barely get dressed up. I was like, I don't know how I did that. But I was, like, my image for so long that it took me so, like, a while to be like, okay, I can rewear things.
Yeah, like, deconstruct that.
Yeah. Like my jeans that I wear literally 24/7 that you literally called me out for the other day.
Because I saw you 2 days in a row. I was like, oh, they were yesterday. They were so cute.
Literally wearing the same jeans, same shoes. I just switched out the top. That's like my uniform, my boyish jeans and my like Veja sneakers, and then switch out the top.
Yeah,
that's what I wear every day. But I'm like, I love it. It fits great. Why would I switch it out?
Yeah.
And now I like will post a million times. Like that cost per wear for that, those jeans are probably like less than a cent.
Want to know the cost per wear for these jeans that I'm wearing right now?
Yes, I actually do.
So I've only been calculating. I did a like pretty intense closet audit in 2018. and then never looked at it ever again until this year, because I wanted to calculate the cost per wear of all the stuff in my closet. So I only have 1 month worth of data.
Right.
But these jeans, let's see, pull up my little spreadsheet. I do have the Sheets app on my phone.
I love that for you. Also, you are selling that sheet.
Yes, I
as
am.
A downloadable link.
$5.
So slay.
Yeah, there's two. There's a lot of resources on my website, actually.
Yes. Just going to plug that.
I have a little ebook.
Yes,
Making
she
the
does.
Most of what's in your closet. A practical guide to starting your slow fashion journey with the clothing you already own. Yeah, it's all about just like taking a deep look at your closet, what clothes you have, walks you through the process of doing a closet audit, taking all the items out of your closet. Literally, like, whether you add them to a spreadsheet, like me, crazy Excel girl, or if you add them to, like, you take a picture of them. There's some apps that do that. Just, like, literally looking through every single item in your closet.
Yeah.
Quite the activity.
It is quite the activity.
Yeah, and I have tips for, like, if you're not sure what to get rid of. Like, I also hold on to things for a really long time.
Yeah, me too.
I have a little clothing rack or, like, a little part of my closet now where I'm, like, if I'm unsure about something, I'll just put it back there.
Okay.
And in 3 months, I'll, like, put a little thing on my calendar, like, check the back of the closet.
Oh.
And I'll be like, oh, I forgot I had this.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm never going to wear it.
Yeah.
Like, it was out of sight, out of mind.
Literally.
Like, it can go.
Yeah.
So it's a tip like that. And then I have a really intense closet audit spreadsheet.
Love
if
that.
You want to like go in and look at how many items are secondhand versus new, there's like a whole dashboard with graphs.
That's literally
things.
What I did, because I heard you talking about that. I was like, oh, I kind of am curious.
Yeah.
It was so fun to do
I
though.
Love the data. Yeah. I just love
too.
Looking at that.
Me too.
And so what I did this year was make a closet audit one, which basically the only difference is you need to have the, or in a cost per wear one, you need to know the cost of the clothing that you spend.
Yeah.
Which, pro tip, if you buy things online, like on the apps, Depop, you can go in and like see your purchases, what you spent.
Yeah.
If you like search order confirmation in your email, unless you delete all of those, which I don't, I just unread them.
Yeah.
But, or mark them as read.
Yeah.
But that will have all the information. Otherwise, do like a best approximate
guess.
Yeah,
just like a guess.
So I'm tracking all of my, all the outfits that I've worn. And today's February 1st. So I have my first month done.
That's exciting. What's it looking like?
Let's see. I'm gonna sort by the number of times I wore an item.
Do you think those jeans are your most worn?
No, actually, because I've been paying attention, very close attention to what else was most worn, and it was a different pair of jeans, a different pair of Levi's that I also got secondhand.
Love that.
Okay, so let's see. My black Ribcage straight jeans. 6 times in a month.
That'd be more by now.
I know. Well, my other jeans were 13 times.
Oh, well, that explains it.
But I'm also I'm crazy like this. I'm tracking my shoes. I'm tracking if I sunglasses, accessories, like literally sweatpants. Like if I change into sweatpants halfway through the day, I'm writing it down.
I love that.
Yeah. But yeah, there are a lot of things that I just wore once.
Right.
And then like the majority of my closet that I haven't touched at all. But there's a lot of items that I've worn 5 times in a month.
Yeah.
That's easily. A lot.
It's a lot. Comparatively to what we probably used to do.
Oh, totally.
Back in the day.
Well, yeah, I'm probably going to wear these tomorrow.
Probably.
Did I wear these yesterday? I don't remember. I can check.
I don't know. I only know your hairy outfit, which was not the jeans. So I don't know what you wore before that.
Yeah, but, like,
I
think it's so cool to just, it's empowering too. There's so much you can learn from documenting what outfits you wear. Like when I was working at Vans at the headquarters, I just would take a little silly mirror selfie every day in the bathroom. First thing I would do. Nobody ever walked in on me while I was doing
that's
that,
funny.
Which was always my biggest fear. So it would be very quick. But I have like 100 outfit photos or something to look back on from my time at Vans. And I'm like, I wear a jacket every single day.
You are a jacket girly.
I didn't know that until I looked at these pictures and was like, oh, maybe it's worth like investing in a nice denim jacket instead of like having 3 from the thrift store that I hate and take off midway through the day.
Right.
But they're thrifted. Like, no, I can invest in a really nice one.
Yeah.
That I'm going to wear all the time.
Yeah, no, it totally goes into personal style, which is what I've noticed too. Because you like start to realize what you feel best in too, like for your own body type and like what you feel most comfortable in. Like I've noticed I'm like a big pants, little top kind of gal.
Yeah.
Very much so. I wear my leather jacket every single day of my life. It is falling apart. I really need a new one.
But know like, that that's going to be a good purchase.
Yeah, I know that if I get one, that's the one I'm going to wear. Like, I have denim jackets. I don't wear any other jacket.
Yeah.
If you ever see me in a jacket, it is only, my leather jacket that is literally falling apart. But I'm like, that's what I feel best in. So I'm going to continuously wear that.
Yeah.
You know?
And that I love stuff like that because, again, like, back at the beginning of my fashion journey, not even my sustainable fashion journey, mm-hmm. but at the beginning when I started my blog, I was buying whatever was out on display
at
the fast fashion stores. It was like, oh, this is on the front table?
Yeah,
like,
that's
it. You're coming home with me, crazy graphic tee.
Yeah.
Like, no, I wear my, like, One Direction t-shirt. I have a closet full of t-shirts, and I wear this one all the time, and I've had it since 2012.
Yep, that's how it is.
That's how it is. But I think it's empowering.
I think
to
know, too.
Like, I don't need to buy whatever's trending. Or, like, even on TikTok, there's so much of a, like, oh, my gosh, where did you get this? Here's the code. You can search on Zara. Like, the product code. Like,
it
don't
kills
need
me.
To be doing that. It kills me.
Yeah.
But when you know what your personal style is, like, I know I wear high-waisted jeans and a jacket 99% of the time.
Right.
In the summer, high-waisted jeans, shorts. Or a little skirt that's also high-waisted. Like, it's the same formula of things.
Right.
So I know if I see a long dress, I can be like, that is so cute.
But not for me.
But I'm not going to wear it. Like, realistically, I know that's not something I'm going to wear.
Yeah. Which is a very empowering thing to be able to say, because I feel like I used to see something on somebody be like, that's so cute. I need it right now.
Immediate
add
to cart.
Yeah, but then, like, realizing, you know what? I'm never going to wear that. / maybe I don't even like what that type of like thing looks like on. Like, I love, there's certain people that look really good in like low rise jeans. Love seeing them.
Could
I know
never.
Damn well I will hate them on myself.
Like my...
Yeah, I know I would
my
not,
jeans up over.
Not ever wear them. But I'm like, I can just appreciate it and move on.
And you can think that something is really cute. Like, fashion is art.
Yes,
I think we forget that a lot, Miss Fashion School Girly.
Yes.
Fashion is art. And
yes,
we forget that. Like, you can think that something is so beautiful or funky or stylish, it doesn't mean you have to have it.
It's not for everyone.
No,
it's not made for everybody, and it's probably impossible for anything to be made to fit everybody, which I think is also a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people, because they assume everything can be for everybody. But that's just not how it is, and it shouldn't be like that, because we're all too individual for something to fit all of us.
No, and there's enough variety out there that we can find things. I think it's just separating the, like, this is what society taught me that, like, is fashionable. Or, like, if I'm looking like all the other girls, or this person on the internet looks so beautiful in this dress, obviously I'm going to look the same in it. Or, like, I have to be looking similar.
Right.
Which or is I just... need it to, like, get that feeling. No.
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
That's a solid note to end on.
Yeah,
I love that. That was great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you. Shout yourself out. Plug yourself. I'll have all the links down below, obviously.
Okay. So my social media handle, this is another funny story.
Yes.
Activism. People never know what it is. It's like activism, like, being an activist, but like a t-shirt in there. Because I care about fashion and activism. So activism. I'm on TikTok, on Instagram, it's my handle on there.
Soon to be on YouTube.
Soon to be I exist on YouTube. Soon to be posting on
there
YouTube.
You go.
Got it.
Yeah.
My website, activism.com. All my resources are on there.
Yes.
Slay.
I say that way too. I'm like really cautious to not say that on podcasts, but I can't not say it with you.
The amount of like ear hair that's been tucked behind your ears in this episode.
I'm trying so hard to be professional, but
slay. This is how we are.
Slay! Yes. Okay, well, on that note, thank you guys for watching, listening, subscribe, follow all the things, and I'll see you guys in the next one. Bye!
sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.